Welcome back to Paranormal 360. During our first hour, we traveled some of America's most legendary roads, from Chicago's Archer Avenue and the enduring mystery of Resurrection Mary to the dark forests of Clinton Road in New Jersey, the haunted history that still clings to Route 66, and the curious phenomena of Gravity Hills, where our own senses can convince us that the impossible is unfolding right before our eyes. As fascinating as those stories were, they all shared something in common. The people involved eventually found an explanation they could live with, even if they never found all the answers. The roads we're about to explore are different. These are places where drivers have reported encounters that seem to end not with understanding, but with an even deeper mystery. Strange headlights appear where there are no vehicles. Travelers encounter people who simply vanish. Entire automobiles seem to disappear without leaving as much as a trace. And before the night is over, we'll visit one lonely stretch of highway where witnesses insist briefly they cross into a place where time itself no longer behaved the way it should. So buckle up once again, because our journey across the world's most paranormal roads is about to take an even stranger turn. Anyone who's spent enough time driving alone at night knows that your attention eventually begins shifting between the road ahead and your rearview mirror. It's almost instinctive. Every few moments, you glance up to see who might be behind you, how quickly they're closing the distance, and whether you'll soon have company on what had been an otherwise empty highway. Reports of phantom headlights have surfaced on isolated highways throughout Texas, Arkansas, Tennessee, Nevada, and dozens of other states. One particularly well-known stretch lies near Saratoga, Texas, where generations of motorists have described seeing unexplained lights approach them behind before disappearing without warning. Similar accounts have emerged from rural highways separated by hundreds of miles, involving witnesses who had never heard one another's stories until long after their own experience had taken place. It was well after midnight when Larry Stevens left Farmington, New Mexico, and pointed his car south toward home. He had made the drive more times than he cared to count, and there was nothing about it that gave him reason to be concerned. Route 666 cut through miles of empty high desert, and once the last lights of town disappeared in the rearview mirror, the only company he expected for the next hour would be the occasional truck hauling freight across the Four Corners. The radio faded in and out with every passing mile until he finally switched it off. Outside his windshield, there were darkness, interrupted now and then by the pale glow of the center line reflecting in the headlights. It was the kind of drive where your mind begins to wander because there's so little demanding your attention. Then he glanced into the rearview mirror. A pair of headlights had appeared behind him. At first, he barely noticed them. Another vehicle on the highway was hardly unusual. And from the way the lights were closing distance, he assumed it was a semi-truck, making up time on the long, open stretch of road. He eased slightly to the right side of the lane, expecting the driver to pass within a minute or two. Instead, the headlights continued closing until they filled the mirror. The glare became almost blinding. They could no longer make out the shape of the truck behind him, only two brilliant beams of light and the deep growl of a diesel engine that seemed close enough to rattle the windows of his car. He waited for the truck to pull onto the opposite lane, and it never did. Thinking perhaps the driver wanted him to speed up, he pressed harder on the accelerator. The truck matched him. He slowed back down, slowed with him. Every change he made was answered instantly, as though the vehicle behind him wasn't trying to pass at all. It was simply staying there, only a few feet from his bumper. By now, irritation had given way to genuine fear. He later said that he became convinced the truck was going to hit him. There was no shoulder wide enough to escape onto, no nearby town, and almost no traffic coming from the opposite direction. The highway stretched ahead in an empty ribbon of asphalt, while the headlights behind him grew so bright that they washed out everything inside the car. The next curve was gentle, the kind he'd driven through dozens of times before. He held the wheel tightly, expecting that if the truck stayed that close, it would surely rear-end him before they reached the straightaway. He came out of the curve, looked into the mirror. There was nothing there. Not a truck disappearing into the distance, not taillights turning onto a side road. It It was nothing. He slowed almost to a stop and searched the highway behind him. The desert was flat for miles in every direction, and under the moonlight he could see enough of the road to know there was nowhere a tractor trailer could have gone in the few seconds his eyes had been on the pavement ahead. The truck had simply ceased to exist. Shaken, he continued to the next service station, more interested in getting around other people than filling his gas tank. When he told the clerk what had happened, expecting an embarrassed smile or dismissive shrug, he received something else entirely. The man behind the counter listened without interrupting, then quietly asked, "Did it stay right on your bumper?" The driver nodded. "Was it a black truck?" Another nod. The clerk leaned against the counter and said, "You're not the first person who's walked in here talking about it." That simple response is one of the reasons the legend has survived for so many years. Versions of the same story have circulated throughout the Four Corners region for decades. Truck drivers, tourists, law enforcement officers, and local residents have all claimed to encounter an enormous black semi that appears out of nowhere, bears down on them with terrifying speed, refuses to pass, and then vanishes without leaving so much as a trace. Some insist the truck has no visible license plate or company markings. Others remember only the overwhelming glare of its headlights and the certainty that they were about to die. The highway itself may have lost its infamous number when Route 666 became US 491, but changing the signs never erased the stories. In fact, many longtime residents will tell you that the road's reputation had less to do with the number on the marker than with the experiences people claim to have had there. Whether the ghost truck is an enduring piece of Southwestern folklore, or the product of exhausted drivers on an isolated highway, or something far stranger, is a question no one has answered to everyone's satisfaction. And what keeps the story alive isn't the truck itself. It's the feeling every witness describes in almost exactly the same way. That moment when they realized the vehicle behind them wasn't trying to get around them. It was trying to stay with them. And on a highway where the nearest help might be 30 miles away, that realization was terrifying enough all by itself. And I'm curious, my darklings, have you ever had a strange encounter like this? Have you ever been on a long, lonely stretch of highway and seen lights or people appear, maybe even an animal, something that shouldn't be there, but you are a firsthand witness? Because I would love to hear from you. You can email me, dave@paranormal60.com. That's dave@paranormal60.com. That's my weekly show, and you can find that wherever you listen to your very favorite podcasts. Just look up Paranormal 60 and share your stories with me. I'd love to hear them, and we may share them on an upcoming episode of Paranormal 360. Now, after the break, we're going to leave the desert behind and meeting travelers whose most unsettling encounters didn't come from what followed them, but from who unexpectedly asked them for a ride or crawled out of the darkness and caught their attention. It's an interesting night. All of us have spent time behind the wheel. All of us have watched the endless stretch of highway before us, the emptiness of the side roads along the side of us. I'm wondering how many of you are listening to this right now while you drive. It may be a very unfamiliar area. Keep your eyes peeled, my darklings, because anything could happen, and it usually does. All right, my darklings, let's change things up. There are certain roads where people become accustomed to seeing deer standing at the edge of the tree line. Drivers slow down, scan both sides of the ditch, and wait for the animal to make the first move. It's a routine that's repeated thousands of times every day in rural America. The witnesses who found themselves on Bray Road in southeastern Wisconsin expected exactly that. Instead, they found something that shouldn't have been there. Bray Road winds quietly through the countryside outside the small community of Elkhorn. It's a peaceful landscape of dairy farms, rolling fields, and patches of thick woodland where darkness settles quickly once the sun disappears. There is nothing about the road itself that hints it would become one of the most famous cryptid locations in North America. Yet, beginning in the late 1980s, sheriff's deputies and local newspapers began receiving reports that sounded less like wildlife encounters and more like scenes from a classic horror film. One of the first widely reported encounters came from a woman driving home after work late one evening. She knew the road well and wasn't expecting anything more unusual than the occasional raccoon or deer crossing in front of her headlights. She rounded a gentle bend. Her lights swept across what she assumed was a large animal feeding in the ditch. She eased off the accelerator, expecting it to bolt into the woods. Only it didn't. Instead, the creature slowly stood up. Not on the four legs. Onto two. She later estimated it stood well over 6 feet tall, covered in dark hair with broad shoulders and unusually long arms hanging almost to its knees. Its head resembled that of a wolf, complete with pointed ears and a long muzzle. But everything below the neck looked disturbingly human in proportion. It didn't stumble or struggle to balance. It stood comfortably, as though walking upright was perfectly natural. Then it turned its head and looked directly at her. Years later, she would still describe that moment with remarkable clarity. It wasn't simply that she had seen something unusual. It was the feeling that whatever stood in her headlights was studying her just as carefully as she was studying it. For several long seconds, neither moved. Then, without displaying the slightest sign of panic, the creature stepped across the road on two legs before dropping effortlessly onto all fours and disappearing into the darkness beyond the tree line. She drove the remaining miles home in complete silence. The next morning, she convinced herself there had to be an explanation. And perhaps poor lighting had distorted the appearance of a bear. Maybe she'd encountered an unusually large dog standing on its hind legs. The longer she thought about it, the more determined she became to explain away what she had seen. The determination lasted until she discovered she wasn't alone. Over the following months, similar reports began arriving from other motorists who had never met one another in any cases, had no idea anyone else had explained something similar or experienced it for themselves. A farmer reported seeing a large wolf-like creature running upright through one of his fields before dropping onto all fours, clearing a fence with astonishing ease. Another driver described nearly striking a massive animal that calmly crossed Bray Road on two legs without showing the slightest fear of the approaching vehicle. One witness claimed the creature was feeding on fresh roadkill when it looked up at the sound of an approaching engine, lifted its massive head, and fixed the driver with an intense stare before dragging the carcass into the woods with surprising strength. As the reports accumulated, they attracted the attention of local journalist Linda Godfrey, who initially approached the stories expecting to uncover a misunderstanding or perhaps an elaborate local joke. Instead, she found ordinary people who were visibly uncomfortable discussing what they had experienced. They weren't seeking publicity. In fact, many were reluctant to have their names published because they feared becoming the subject of ridicule. The more Godfrey investigated, the stranger the story became. Descriptions varied in small details, as eyewitness accounts often do, but the central image remained remarkably consistent. Witnesses described a powerful wolf-like creature capable of moving comfortably on both two legs and all four. Many commented on its muscular build and on its unusually intelligent-looking eyes. Nearly all agreed on one point. Whether they had seen this it or not, they did not believe that it acted like any known animal native to Wisconsin. Naturally, wildlife experts offered more conventional possibilities. Black bears can stand upright for short periods, particularly when trying to identify unfamiliar scents. Large dogs seen under poor lighting can appear distorted, and eyewitnesses observing something unexpected at night may unintentionally exaggerate size, posture, or position. Those explanations, of course, deserve consideration, yet they leave one persistent question. Why did so many independent witnesses spread across different months and different years continue describing essentially the same creature? Today, Bray Road has become something of a destination for paranormal enthusiasts, cryptid researchers, and curious travelers hoping to catch a glimpse of whatever inspired the legend. Most leave, having seen nothing more unusual than farmland, quiet woods, and the occasional deer crossing the road. But every now and then, someone returns with a story. Not of glowing eyes deep in the forest, not of distant howls echoing through the night, but of a solitary figure standing beside the road, waiting just beyond the reach of the headlights, before calmly rising onto two legs and disappearing into the darkness as though it had done so 1,000 times before. So whether the beast of Bray Road is an undiscovered animal, an extraordinary case of mistaken identity, or something that simply defies to fit any category we've created, one fact remains difficult to ignore. More than 3 decades after the first reports made headlines, people are still slowing down on that lonely Wisconsin road. Not because they're watching for deer, but because they're quietly wondering what might be watching them from the side of the road. I actually had the chance to speak with Linda Godfrey personally on numerous occasions at paranormal conventions, and I was always struck by the sincerity of her investigations, having put herself out in those locations where the Beast of Bray Road was known to be stalking. And the stories she would tell me of hearing things circling her and her group just outside of the reach of the light from their flashlights. They could hear something growling, low rumbling, stomping, snorting, hissing around them as they stood there, terrified and unsure what to do next. I believe Linda Godfrey because I believe the research that she was doing and the fact that she was a respected journalist who wanted to get to the answers. And you know, the stories don't just surround Linda Godfrey and those type of tales at night. There is a story that appeared about 15, 20 years ago of a worker who was picking up roadkill off the side of the road, and he had thrown a deer carcass into the back of his truck. He was sitting there checking his map and looking at where his next stop was going to be when suddenly he felt the bed of his truck fake. Something jumped into the truck, grabbed the carcass of this full-grown deer, sprang from the truck, and ran into the woods. This worker saw it. He saw it himself in daylight. So whether you believe in Bigfoot or the Wolfman, vampires or other creatures of the night, there is something happening on our planet. Many people from many walks of life are witnessing it. Are you one of them? We'll be back with more right after this. By the autumn of 1979, Jeff and Pauline Simpson had already spent several enjoyable days traveling through France with their friends, Len and Cynthia Gisby. Their destination was Spain, but like so many vacations before GPS and smartphones, the journey itself was part of the adventure. They wandered off the main highways whenever an interesting village appeared on a road sign. They took scenic back roads instead of faster routes, and rarely worried if a wrong turn added another hour to the day's drive. Late one afternoon, however, a wrong turn became several wrong turns, and what had started as a leisurely drive through the French countryside slowly turned into something much less enjoyable. The roads grew narrower, traffic became almost non-existent, and the villages they encountered seemed increasingly isolated. By the time the sun began slipping below the horizon, the four travelers agreed they only had one priority left. They needed to find somewhere to spend the night before darkness settled in completely. After what they later described as an unusually long search, they rounded a bend and saw a modest roadside hotel sitting quietly by itself. It wasn't the sort of place that appeared in travel brochures. There were no bright signs, no busy parking lot, and no indication that it catered to tourists. It simply looked like an old country inn that had been serving weary travelers for generations. Relieved to have found a place to stay, they carried in their luggage. Almost immediately, they noticed the hotel seemed strangely old-fashioned. The furnishings were heavy and traditional. The decor looked decades out of date. And the atmosphere felt unlike any hotel they'd ever visited anywhere in France. Nothing appeared neglected or abandoned. On the contrary, everything was clean and well-maintained. It simply felt as though time had passed more slowly inside these walls than it had anywhere else in France. The proprietor greeted them politely, registered them without ceremony, and handed them large brass room keys. Their rooms were uncomfortable but remarkably simple. Furnished with sturdy wooden beds, thick shutters over the windows, and furniture that seemed to belong to another generation. One member of the group later recalled thinking that it felt less like a commercial hotel and more like spending the night in someone's carefully preserved family home. After dinner, they retired for the evening, slept soundly, and met again with the following morning for breakfast. Nothing about the meal struck them as unusual, although everyone remarked on how inexpensive the stay had been. Even after accounting for the exchange rate, the bill seemed surprisingly low. They settled their account, thanked the proprietor for his hospitality, took several photographs of the building before leaving, and then continued south toward Spain. It wasn't until the return journey several days later that the experience became impossible to explain. Remembering what a pleasant stop the little hotel had been, the group decided to spend another night there before crossing back into England. Confident they could find it again, they retraced the same roads through the same countryside until they reached the stretch where all four distinctly remembered the hotel standing. Only, it wasn't there. At first, they assumed they had driven past the entrance without noticing it. They turned around and drove the road again, this time much more slowly. Still, there was nothing. They repeated the drive a third time before stopping in a nearby village to ask for directions. According to the accounts later published by the travelers, the people they questioned appeared puzzled by the description. Some insisted there had never been a hotel along that particular road. Others could offer no explanation at all. The farther they searched, the stranger the experience became. They all remembered the same details. They remembered checking in, eating breakfast, paying the bill, and taking photographs before leaving. Yet despite returning to what they believed was the exact same location, the hotel had seemingly vanished without a trace. After returning home to Britain, they sent their vacation film away to be developed. Every photograph from the beginning of their trip appeared exactly as expected. The photographs taken after they left the mysterious hotel were equally clear. But the images they remembered taking during their overnight stay, including photographs of the hotel itself, you guessed it, they were missing. Whether the film had been failed or the frames had somehow been exposed incorrectly or something else had happened, they couldn't say. They only knew that the pictures they were certain they had taken were no longer there. Over the years, researchers have suggested a variety of explanations. Some have proposed that the travelers simply became confused about the location and were unable to relocate the hotel on their journey home. Others have suggested the missing photographs were the result of an ordinary camera malfunction, while skeptics have argued that memory itself can become surprisingly unreliable after an unusual experience. None of those explanations have ever been conclusively proven, and neither has the extraordinary alternative. What keeps the story alive is the consistency of the witnesses. Four people shared the same journey, remembered the same hotel, recalled eating the same breakfast, and together they searched for the same building that they believed simply disappeared. Now, researchers often place the Simpson and Gisby account into a category known as a time slip. The term doesn't explain what happened. It merely acknowledges that some witnesses believe they briefly encountered a place that seemed disconnected from the normal passage of time. Whether that's what Jeff and Pauline Simpson and Len Grisby and Cynthia Grisby experienced on that autumn evening in 1979 remains one of those questions that has never been answered to anyone's satisfaction. Perhaps they simply became lost in the French countryside and later remembered the route incorrectly. Perhaps there was an ordinary explanation for the missing photographs that no one recognized at the time are perhaps four ordinary travelers searching for nothing more remarkable than a place to spend the night, unknowingly checked into a hotel that belonged to another chapter of history, before quietly returning to their own, outside the Twilight Zone. Sorry, I couldn't resist that one. Time slips are a phenomena that I found extremely exciting and interesting. One of my favorite accounts comes from right here in Minnesota. I had a couple of young men approach me one day and they said, "Dave, I would like you to explain this to me. My grandparents bought a cornfield and they built a house on it 45, 50 years ago. It wasn't ancient native burial grounds. It wasn't Civil War battlefield. It was simply a cornfield. They dug the foundation, built the house themselves. Nobody ever died in the house. Nothing mysterious or strange ever happened in the house for all the years they lived there until one afternoon, around 3:30 in the afternoon, when my grandmother was watching Jeopardy on TV, when she reported three shadowy figures walked into the room and stopped before her. They looked, turned, and ran out of the room. Now, of course, Grandma's house is haunted. Grandma was in her right mind. There was nothing she could have messed up. What did she encounter?" He said, "I didn't know." They said, "This is where it gets strange, Dave. My grandmother died about a year later. And a few years after that, I went to visit my grandfather with a few of my friends. And we talked in the kitchen, and my grandfather said, 'Go on out into the living room. I'll make some drinks and bring them out.' We walked into the living room, and there in my grandmother's chair was my grandmother sitting there at 3:30 in the afternoon. The two of us, three of us, looked at each other, turned and ran out of the room, and I thought, 'Oh my God, that is exactly what my grandmother had experienced all those years ago.' We've saved our most unusual destination for last, my darklings, because it's one of the few places where nearly every type of paranormal encounter has been reported. We're heading to Skinwalker Country." Ah, yes, we've saved our most unusual destination for last because it's one of the few places where nearly every type of paranormal encounter has been reported. People have described unexplained lights hovering over the road, impossible creatures standing at the edge of the headlights, hours of missing time, and experiences so bizarre they've spent years trying to convince themselves they imagined it. In just a few moments, we're going to take you there. If you've ever driven across northeastern Utah, you already know that there's something different about the landscape. The highways seem to stretch forever, winding between mesas and broad valleys where you can drive for miles without seeing another vehicle. During the day, it's beautiful country. At night, it can feel as though you've left the modern world behind altogether. And it was along these lonely roads, particularly those surrounding what's become known as Skinwalker Ranch, but a remarkable collection of eyewitness accounts began to emerge. Ranchers, law enforcement officers, oil field workers, truck drivers, and ordinary families have all described experiences that refuse to fit neatly into a single category of logic. One witness reports strange lights, another describes an enormous animal standing beside the highway. Someone else loses an hour of time they can never account for. And yet another swears an object paced their vehicle silently for miles before accelerating into the night sky. Standing alone, any one of those stories might be easy to dismiss, but taken together, they become much more difficult to ignore. One truck driver described making his regular route through the Uinta Basin long after midnight when he noticed what he assumed was another vehicle approaching from the opposite direction. The light remained unusually bright, but never seemed to get any closer. As he continued driving, it suddenly left the roadway altogether, rose silently above the desert floor, and began pacing his truck from several hundred feet away. He watched it through the passenger window for nearly 2 miles before it accelerated, straight upward, disappearing into the sky so quickly that he could only sit in stunned silence, wondering whether he had actually seen what he just saw. Another family recalled driving home after visiting relatives when their children began pointing toward a hillside overlooking the highway. Expecting to see a deer, the parents looked up just in time to notice a massive animal standing perfectly still against the skyline. They estimated it was much larger than any wolf they'd ever seen, yet it stood with an odd confidence, showing no fear of the approaching vehicle. As they slowed to get a better look, the animal calmly turned, walked behind a cluster of sagebrush, and simply failed to emerge from the other side. Then there are stories investigators find hardest to categorize. Drivers have reported reaching home hours later than expected, with no memory of where the missing time had gone. Others have described radio stations fading into complete silence before returning as suddenly as they disappeared. Cell phones lose service, engines behave erratically, compasses spin without explanation. Some witnesses insist they experienced an overwhelming feeling that they were being watched long before anything unusual actually happened. A sensation so powerful that they abandoned whatever plans they had and drove away as quickly as they could. The Uinta Basin has become one of the most intensely studied paranormal locations in the world, precisely because no single explanation seems capable of accounting for everything people report. UFO researchers find compelling aerial encounters. Cryptid investigators focus on the strange animal sightings. Paranormal investigators point to accounts of shadowy figures and unexplained voices. Indigenous traditions speak of the skinwalker, a being deeply rooted in Navajo belief and deserving of respect rather than sensationalism. Each perspective offers part of the picture, yet none seem to explain the entirety of the situation. And perhaps that's the real mystery. Whether those encounters represent misunderstood natural phenomena, psychological suggestion, folklore, or something that science has yet to understand remains one of the great unanswered questions of the paranormal. Whatever the explanation, there is no denying that the roads surrounding the Uinta Basin have earned a reputation unlike anywhere else in America. Because on those lonely highways, people don't simply report seeing something strange. They return home questioning the very nature of the reality they live in. So the next time you find yourself traveling after dark, don't just watch the road ahead. Pay attention. Look a little longer into the tree line. Glance in the rearview mirror once in a while. Notice the lights in the distance. Because most journeys aren't exactly where we expect them to take us. And every once in a great while, someone comes home with a story they never imagined they'd be telling. Personally, I've been to the Uinta Basin many times now, and I'm going to be back there again in September for Phenomicon, and I can't wait. We're going to be going to Space Wolf Ranch, which is the adjacent property to Skinwalker Ranch, adjacent to the point you can literally walk right up to the fence of Skinwalker Ranch, and I have stepped over that. We've had strange experiences. I've been there with Dr. Maria Mayer from Expedition Bigfoot, and we have had strange encounters with things stalking us. The sound of a child answering a question from a heavily wooded area. It seems impossible, but we've seen it and witnessed it ourselves. As a matter of fact, Dr. Maria Mayer, as much as she's interested in primates and Bigfoot and the cryptid phenomena, told me, "Dave, I really hope I can see a UFO." And the first time we went to Space Wolf Ranch together, we were walking around the property getting ready to take off and do this walkthrough, when suddenly a bright light appeared in the sky. It danced in a way she had never seen before. So profoundly that it affected her, she yelled out, "Oh my God, Dave, I see a UFO." And it wasn't acting like any kind of plane. It wasn't acting like a drone. It was moving at breakneck speeds, moving about, and then simply vanished. Walking along the wooded line, heading towards the back part of the property that is adjacent and directly connects to the Skinwalker Ranch, there were times we would stop because we could hear something pacing us, something walking in the wooded area off to the right, to the left, as though it was stalking us. I even stopped at one point. We tried to do EVP, electronic voice phenomena, and we were capturing voices responding back to us. We were lucky enough to get to go back last year with a bunch of fans of the paranormal. who elected to join Dr. Maria Mayer and myself and go out to Space Wolf Ranch. We're going to be going back out there again. And maybe what we'll do on a future episode is I'll have Dr. Mayer come on and we'll talk about our experiences there, what it is like to be in that environment. Because if you watch the shows about Skinwalker Ranch, it's easy to feel that disconnect, to think, it's just a TV show, right? But when you've actually been there and you can feel the unsettling nature of the land itself, as beautiful and majestic as it is, it holds mysteries. It holds secrets. And it makes me wonder why. Why is it holding back? Why isn't it giving us the information? Or is it in bite-sized chunks? And are we ready for what it truly reveals when it finally does? Thank you for joining me on this journey tonight. I hope you've enjoyed it as much as I've enjoyed sharing it with you. I'm Dave Schrader, your host, and this is our Paranormal 360.